Well, look to the person on your left, smile at them, don't just stare at them, and then look to the person on your right, including yourself. You are now in a group of three people for which this statistic might be true. According to a recent Harvard University study, one in three of you believe you have needs in your life and no one to meet them. You have hurts to share and no one to listen to them. And you have love to give and no one to receive it. That's one in three of you. One in three of you that are missing something significant in your life. A core group of people to know and to do life with, to a community where you give and receive love, friends that carry your burden and allow you to carry theirs. According to this study, it's one in three of you. Actually, it's a little bit more than that. It's 36% of Americans, this study said, that endure ongoing feelings of loneliness, isolation, longing to love and to be loved. More than one in three know that something is missing on a relational level. And God never intended for it to be this way. Today, we are continuing our series called Life Change, where we are going through God's word to discover what it means to embrace the moment of life change and to sustain the journey of life change. This series is actually coinciding with the release of this book. Pastor Ryan just mentioned it, but this book that Pastor Aaron wrote, and it's for our church community as we kind of figure out and find out and continue to explore what it means to be a Christ follower. And many of you got your copy last week. Any of you started it already? Don't lie in church. Don't. If you didn't get a book, as Pastor Ryan mentioned, you can get one today. I would encourage you to do so. Last week, we kind of dealt with the first couple of chapters here. This week, this sermon is coinciding with chapter 3 of this book titled Gather. And I want us to begin today by looking at a snapshot of the very first Christian church recorded in the book of Acts. So if you've got your Bibles, you can turn there with me. Acts chapter 2, and we'll start in verse 46. Scripture says, every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. If the early church, many who had known and seen Jesus in the flesh, if they made it a priority to gather together for worship, for spiritual formation, to maintain their walk with God, how much more do you and I today need that same kind of community? I want to share with you three simple truths that we can learn from the first church that reminds us that we are better together. We are better together. The first thing that I would like to share with you is this: God created us to gather. God created us to gather. In the very beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and he said it was good. And then he created light, and God said that too is good. God then separated the day from night, the land from the water. He looked at it and he said, this is good. And then God took some time to create the stars in the sky, the birds of the air, the fish of the sea, the animals, the plants. And he said, all of it is good. And then God said something is not good. After God created man, he said, it is not good that man should be alone. So what did God do? The best thing that he's ever done. God created a helper suitable for man and called her woman. Again, the best thing. Husbands, you need to agree with me this morning. The best thing that God has ever done. From the very beginning of time, God knew that it was better that we were together. It was not good for man to be alone, so he created a helper suitable for him. We were better together, that one person can accomplish some, but two can accomplish much. What was true at the creation of the world remained true at the creation of the very first church. We saw it in our text today. Again, let's look back in verse 46. It says, every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. Every day. Every day. Now, this is descriptive, not prescriptive. The difference being, this is a description of what happened, not necessarily a prescription that this is what must happen or this is how it must be. So you can breathe easy. I'm not arguing today that we meet here at the same time, at the same place, every day for the same purpose. Don't worry. I know you want to, but we don't have to, okay? We don't have to meet here every single day. But do notice that there was a desire among the first century believers to gather together regularly for instruction, for encouragement, and for worship. Every day, these crazy Jesus followers met together. And it was so much more than just physical proximity. It was that, but it was emotional unity when they met together. And why did they meet together so often? I'll tell you why. It's because they needed each other. Back then, it must have been tough for them. But I know today, we have it easy. I mean, today, we have no problems, no stress. Today, we have no anxiety. Today, the economy is always good. Today, we never have anything to worry about politically or globally. Today, we have it easy. But back then, back then, it was difficult. Back then, people on the outside didn't understand or accept their faith. Back then, they were persecuted, actually, for their faith. Back then, there were people getting sick that needed prayers to be healed. Back then, there were people hurting and struggling, and they needed each other, and they didn't want to go too long without meeting together with one another, without sharing the word of God with one another, to lift one another up, to encourage one another, and to strengthen one another, to be the body of Christ in a world that needed Jesus. But that was back then. Here's the fundamental difference between the church back then and the church today. The church back then, the first century believers, desperately needed each other, and they knew it. Believers today desperately need each other and have forgotten it. And have made substitutes with other communities, with our social profiles and devices, and we wonder why depression and anxiety and isolation is at an all-time high when connectivity is so pervasive and prevalent in our world and in our culture today. We are missing something. God is all about community. He always has been. This was actually true before time began. When God existed in community, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Did you ever realize that? God was in community, existing eternally in community. This was true at the creation of the world when God put man and woman together. This was true at the creation of the church when God created them to gather together every single day for spiritual nourishment and encouragement. And this is true for today, for you and me. We were created to gather. The second truth that we find in our text today is that God is honored when we gather. God is honored when we gather. Not only did these early Christ followers meet daily in the temple courts, they did the unthinkable, and they began to give out their gate code to one another. that began to open their door and say, come on in. We pick up in verse 46 of our text. It says, they broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. Notice, as they gathered, as they met together, as they ate together and did life together, God was praised. Worship is an inevitable outcome when God's people gather together. It is inevitable. It is going to happen because Sally will share how she received a promotion at work and other Christ followers will praise God because of Sally's promotion. Jim will come and share that with God's help, he is now 3 months sober, and other believers will begin to praise God for that truth. In our context, a lyric from a worship song will ring true in someone's heart, and in that moment of worship, they will experience healing and hope and freedom. And as we witness that moment, we will naturally praise God. It is inevitable. When God's people gather together and begin to worship, God will be honored. There's a Greek word here, you may have heard it before, that is used to describe this fellowship, this unique kind of fellowship that these early believers had. It's actually used in verse 42, but it's to describe all that we've read today. The Greek word is koinonia. Have you heard that before? You want to learn some Greek today? Let's all say that word together. Koinonia. It's not too difficult, right? Koinonia. It's a Greek word that describes the association, the participation, the community, and the God-honoring intimacy of the early church. I don't know if you've thought about this before, but in the early days of the Christian faith, there was very little in regards to a personal relationship with God. Personal Bible study was almost non-existent. Even if they did have a scroll or two at their home, most of them probably wouldn't even be able to read it. So they would gather together daily. They would hear readings from the scriptures. They would listen to a teaching on the text. They would discuss it, digest it, process it. They would go home, go back to their workplace, live out that particular teaching or truth that they had just discovered and learned, and then they would come back the next day. This was the Christian life on repeat. Now, I'm not advocating that you should avoid studying your Bible in your own personal time or pray and have your own personal devotions. All of those things can be beneficial. But what I do want to emphasize is that there is something divinely special about coming together. There's something divinely special, divinely, something unique that happens when we gather together on a regular basis for teaching and instruction and correction and worship. It's koinonia. It's something that you cannot get alone. It's something that if you are alone, you cannot have koinonia. You can pray, you can read, you can worship. But there's something divine that happens when we gather together. It's koinonia. Maybe you are familiar with this popular phrase from Jesus. One time in his teaching, he said, "For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am among them." Have you heard that before? "For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I among them." The context of this popular passage has to do with dealing with sin and offense within the body of Christ. But it's easy to see how this truth applies more broadly to Christian gatherings of all sorts. Notice this. Jesus is not saying that if you show up, so will I. He is saying, if you gather to be with me, I am already there, waiting for you. I am already there, ready and eager to be with you. I'm there in your midst. When two or three gather, guess what? I'm already there. When you gather together for worship, for corporate worship, Jesus is already here waiting for us before the band comes for rehearsal and run through in the morning. Jesus is waiting in one of these seats. Before you show up, Jesus is already here waiting for you to gather together with one another, to meet together and to worship. I want to take a moment and just talk to those that are watching online. Glad that you do. We make that as a tool and a resource available for those that maybe can't make it here. Maybe they are, you know, you're sick on a Sunday, you're gathering with us, you're traveling. We're so glad that you're able to join with us online. But know, all of you here and those that are online, that watching online alone is no replacement for gathering together. We do not worship a pixelated Savior, and He did not redeem us to be a pixelated people. There's something divine that happens when we gather together. Physical proximity, like the early church, leads to spiritual unity. And when the church is unified, God is glorified. Something divine happens when we gather together, which leads us to our third and final truth that we find from our text today. God created us to gather. God is honored when we gather. And finally, God changes us when we gather. There's something that happens in our lives when we gather together. Did you notice when we read our text, the result of their gathering? When the first church met every single day in the temple courts, when they broke bread in their homes, shared meals with one another, when they praised and worshiped God together, something miraculous began to happen. In verse 47, it says, "And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved." I feel like I don't even have to preach this point because you know it to be true that when we gather, our lives are changed. That's why you're here, right? When we gather, lives are changed. Many of you have had your life drastically and dramatically changed through or at a Life Church gathering before. Many of you have been baptized in water celebrating that life change and that new life that you are experiencing. I bet we could go all day long having one person at a time come up to share what God has done in their life, to share a testimony of God's goodness, of God's faithfulness, of miracles that have happened in the lives of the people that are gathered here today. I mean, I've got one of the best seats in the house to see broken marriages restored, to watch as addictions are overcome, sins forgiven, prayers answered. I can confidently say that daily God is saving and changing and healing people at and through Life Church. Daily that is happening. And this is just the beginning. If you commit to this regular gathering here at Life Church, I can promise you a few things. Life Church gatherings will be a gathering of worship. Life Church services will be a gathering of worship. You know this to be true, but Life Church is a Jesus church. At the centerpiece of every single one of our services is Jesus. We sing to, we pray in the name of, and we preach and teach everything about Jesus. If you haven't discovered yet, every single sermon is about Him. Whether it's from the Old Testament or the New Testament. And I'm sorry if you're going to get tired of that, but we're excited about Jesus. And so we show up here to worship Him. Life Church services will be a gathering of worship. Secondly, Life Church services will be a gathering of grace. This is a safe place to belong and to believe and to become who God has created you to be. And in this room, grace will abound. You are going to walk in with your own version of something. We all do. You are welcome here. You are welcome to come into this room with your own hurts and habits and hang-ups, with your own addictions, your own baggage. And what you'll come to discover is that everyone here is kind of broken. Like, we're all kind of jacked up. I said it could take all, we could take all day going through and sharing our testimonies. We could also take all day going through and sharing our hang-ups, our sins, our faults, our failures. We are a broken people. But if we were perfect, if we had it all together, then there would be no need for grace and there would be no need for Jesus. Life Church services will be a gathering of grace. Thirdly, Life Church services will be a gathering of transformation. A gathering of transformation. The good news is that God meets us in our mess, but he refuses to leave us there. Have you ever wondered why you've looked over it before and someone beside you has tears streaming down their face during worship? Have you ever wondered why or noticed before that after service when we've had time for prayer that someone has come forward for prayer and kind of just crumpled to their knees? These aren't just moments of emotional fragility. These are moments of true transformation where God is breathing life into dead things, where God is making something old and turning it into new. These are moments of hope and healing and true transformation. That is what happens when we gather. Life Church services will be a gathering of transformation. And then finally, Life Church services will be a gathering of mission. We are here on purpose for a purpose. We have a divine purpose and a divine calling from our Heavenly Father. And here at Life Church, we are not only becoming more like Jesus, we are partnering with him to go into all of the world and to preach and teach and share the good news of Jesus around the corner and around the world. And at some point in your faith journey, please listen to me. At some point in your faith journey, you have got to stop simply coming to church for what you can get and start coming to church for what you can give. At some point, it is less about what you can come and receive, although you can, and it is more about what you can come and contribute that will help bring about life change in others. In fact, here's a little Christian hack for you. If you've been a Christian for a long time and you're wondering why I feel stuck, like I'm just hitting a ceiling in my faith and I'm not doing anything wrong and I'm trying to do things right, but I'm just not advancing, then maybe it's because you haven't taken that next selfless step of serving and of giving. I believe that many of us have not unlocked that next step in our faith journey because we are not producing, we are not multiplying, we are not giving of ourselves because we are already filled up. But when you begin to give of yourself, you empty yourself so that God can fill you up again. Some of you know this to be true because you are here today and you are serving and you are giving. You are doing and you are being with your God-given gifts, talents, and abilities. In fact, I know that's true of Mike and Connie, who this morning are in service, but they have signed up to be prayer partners, so when service is over today, they will be up here praying for people. They said, it's not just enough for me to just sit. I'm here to serve. I mean, this is true for Val Ron, who right now is not in this room. Do you know why? Because for years and years and years, Val has served in Life Kids Early Childhood. And right now, in this moment, Val is probably holding a toddler, teaching that toddler about Jesus and helping that toddler to feel love and safety. It's because Val knows that this isn't about her, that this is about something greater, and she has something to give. Alone, you can do some, but together, we can do much, because we are better together. I want us to read our text one more time. Hopefully you're seeing it with new eyes today. As we read that every day, they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes. They ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Look, Life Church, this morning I'm not asking you to make everyday church a reality. But I am asking you to make church attendance an everyday priority. Church is not an add-on. Church is not an accessory. Church is not for when you feel like it, and church is not for when you have the time. None of this is going to happen by accident. You won't wake up one day with a schedule free of sports activities, work responsibilities, social opportunities. You won't wake up next Sunday feeling like you want to go to church. It's not always going to be the case. But what would it look like if today, in this week, in this month, if we all, every single one of us, took a step of intentionality, a step towards this gathering that we call church? What would it look like? What would it look like if you were to say, look, for me, I'm going to increase my attendance from one Sunday a month to two. I know that's not every day. I know that's not every month, but that's a step. What if for you, you said, look, I've been attending for months now, but it's time that instead of just sitting, I serve. And so although I'm with kids every day at home, maybe I can give of that gift and talent and serve like Val does in kids. Maybe for you, it's to serve on a prayer team or a parking team or greeters. Maybe for you, your step today is, hey, when service is over, I'm usually the first one out the door. And in fact, I already have it built in that when the speaker is sharing the last bit of information at the end, I'm already the one standing and walking out the door. Maybe today you decide, no, I'm going to linger longer. And today, as uncomfortable as it might be, I'm going to go and talk to someone in the lobby that I've never met before. Maybe for you, you are deciding today, I'm going to stop just going to church and I'm actually going to be the church. There is something for every single one of us today, whether this is your first time at Life Church or you've been coming for 20 years now, there is a step for you to take today. We are better together. And I want to leave you with an exhortation from the book of Hebrews that I believe is even more relevant today than it was when it was first penned. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25 says, let us consider how to stir one another up to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. I don't know when Jesus is coming back, but I do know that the day is sooner now than ever before. And as the world gets crazier, because it will, it's not going to slow down. And as life gets more difficult, because it will, you and I must not neglect meeting together. We need one another. God created us to gather. God is honored when we gather. And God changes us when we gather. Why? Because we are the church. We are the hands and the feet of Jesus. We are the bearers of good news. We are the facilitators of life change in this room, in this city, in this state, and in this world. We are the church, and we are better together. So let's pray. God, do a work in us. Today, every single one of us, stir us up to be the people that you want us to be. And as you're praying this morning, with your heads bowed and eyes closed, I wonder how many of you know that this isn't the way that God intended for it to be, this isolation, this separation, that you want to be more intentional about being a part of a community of Christ followers today. And today you are committing to take that step forward. Would you just lift your hands all around this room? If you're saying, that's me today, I want to take a step. I want to do something. Yeah, all around this room, there's people. And if you're online, you can type that in the chat or just say, that's me. Today, we can all take a step forward. God, I pray that this wouldn't just be a message of inspiration today, but this would be a message of action. That we would do something today, that you would help us to take a step forward, that we would gather, that we would show your love, that we would be your love to one another and to the world around us, and that because we do that, our lives and the lives of others would be dramatically, drastically, eternally changed. It's in Jesus' name that we pray and believe these things. Amen.